Okay, come on in, find a seat, and we will get going. Today we'll be in Jeremiah 36. So if you guys want to open up your Bibles up to Jeremiah 36. And last week we talked about the ministry of Jeremiah. We're going to see how he starts to go forward with a little bit of the ministry here, and we're going to talk about God's Word. In a nutshell, it's all about how important God's Word is. And how important it's supposed to mean to us. It meant a lot to them back then. It means a lot to God. But yet, sometimes we try to just turn things in our favor so that way we can live the way we want to live, or we could tell people how to, the way they live. Sometimes the twisting of God's word is not because we want to live that way. It's because we want to seem more educated or more important than somebody else and try to say, hey, this is how you should live, and then go about feeling how good you are because you made somebody make some minor changes to their life thinking they're going to be better off, and that's not what it is. It's all about the fellowship, the relationship with our Lord, and how to do that better. And that's what it was in the Old Testament. It was the relationship, how to have that relationship. Who's going to walk with me? Who's not going to walk with me? It's the same problem nowadays that it was back then. Some choose to walk with him, some don't. You're saved, you're supposed to be. If you're born again, you're supposed to be. But it goes back and forth. So Jeremiah 36. And we'll read the first 17 verses here. And it came to pass in the fourth year of Jehoiakim, the son of Josiah, king of Judah, that the word came unto Jeremiah from the Lord, saying, take thee a roll of a book, and write therein all the words that I have spoken unto thee against Israel, and against Judah, and against all the nations from the day I spake unto thee from the days of Josiah, even unto this day. It may be that the house of Judah will hear all the evil which I purpose to do unto them, that they may return every man from his evil way, that I may forgive their iniquity and their sin. Then Jeremiah called Baruch, the son of Neriah, and Baruch wrote from the mouth of Jeremiah all the words of the Lord, which he had spoken unto him upon a roll of a book. And Jeremiah commanded Baruch, saying, I am shut up, I cannot go unto the house of the Lord. Therefore go thou and read in the roll which thou hast written from my mouth, the words of the Lord, in the ears of the people, in the Lord's house, upon the fasting day, and also thou shalt read them in the ears of all Judah that come out of their cities. It may be thy will, or it may be they will present their supplication before the Lord, and will return every one from his evil way, for great is the anger and fury that the Lord hath pronounced against this people. And Baruch, the son of Neriah, said according to all that Jeremiah the prophet commanded him, reading in the book, and commanded him, reading the book, the words of the Lord, in the Lord's house. Actually, we'll stop there for now. But Jeremiah, at this point, has been out. He's been preaching for about 20 years. If you could just imagine that. 20 years, and he's not... he's really not seeing anything. He's not seeing any change in the people. He's not seeing any change in their lives. He just sees things getting worse and worse. And he knows what God's going to bring upon him. He knows that, and he doesn't want that. Again, it's like counseling with one of our pastors. And they say, hey, this is what God's word says. This is what you should do. And you go, yeah, okay. And then walk away, never doing it. And then come back and go, why didn't this work? What, did you do it? No. Or you might go back and say, well, I tried that. It didn't work. Well, how long did you try it for? Yeah. Obviously, you're still not doing it because you stopped. So when did you stop? And here's Jeremiah going out there going, look, I'm trying to preach to this. But it's the importance of God's word. That's what it was, right? Where is it? In verse 3, it says, "It may be that the house of Judah will hear all the evil which I purpose to do unto them, that they may return every man from his evil way, that I may forgive their iniquity and their sin." And that's where we end up getting our, because it's the importance of God's word, where we get our memory verse for this week. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for what? Doctrine, reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. You got your doctrine, which is the teaching. What is right? People like to change doctrines nowadays. People don't like to think doctrines are big things. But a doctrine is what is right. What is right? Now, I know Paul later on goes into, you know, if it's a matter of, you know, hair and different things like this, there's no such law. There's no such law. But I'm talking about straight up doctrine, what Jesus Christ wants you to believe, right? What is the work of God? To believe on his only son. That's the work of God. It's faith. And what happens is we start not listening to that or twisting it in certain ways. Reproof, right? What's not right? There's the problem. Nobody likes to be told what's not right. It took me the longest time. I heard the gospel. I never understood it because I didn't want to. Why? Because I didn't like to be told what was right. I don't want to know what I'm doing wrong. Who are you to say what I'm doing wrong? And that's what happens. But for correction, how are you going to get right? Well, that would have to go back to doctrine, right? But doctrine's not a big deal. You can't get right if you don't know the right doctrine. You're not going to want to get right. And I'm not saying make a big deal out of everything and all that. But it does go into the last part of it for instruction. What to do and how to stay right. Right? What to do and how to stay right. And like I said, I'm not trying to go into it, but where I came from, the things I did, my past, how I lived. A lot of people don't understand living in their car. And not because you had to, because sin brought you there. And you felt that your pride kept you there. Right? That's instruction. That's doctrine. You know, that. How was I going to get right? I needed doctrine. I needed instruction. I needed somebody to prove me. Or else I wasn't going to learn. And what we say to somebody when we just dismiss something that they say that goes against all of salvation, of what the Lord did to us, when it goes against what God said is right or wrong, whether you think it's a big deal or not, I guarantee you it's a big deal to God. It is. Sometimes we don't like it. Sometimes it takes us a while to get it. But it is. The Lord's always looking for men to just stand fast in the faith and say, no, that's wrong. I don't agree with you. That's okay. You don't have to agree with, you know, and if it's not major, you can say, okay, I don't agree with you. That's fine. But the problem comes because people don't know doctrine, because they're not, just like Israel is not, or, you know, in Judah, they're not listening to Jeremiah. You don't have to, you know, you got the choice whether you're going to listen to the instructions or not. And then as somebody that is in the faith, Jeremiah has the one, am I going to say it's right or not? And I'm sure Jeremiah didn't say, hey, that's okay. That's okay. We can disagree. No, I'm sure he said, you're wrong. If you want to talk that way, if you want to put my God down, go away. Don't speak to me. I can guarantee you, almost guarantee you he did that. And why? Because we see Jesus doing that. Get away. What is wrong with you? Get away from me. I mean, in the simplest terms, that's basically what Jesus said to some people, the Pharisees and things like that. No, that's wrong. What's wrong with you? He said it to his own apostles. How long do I have to be here before you get it through your head who I am? What I'm trying to tell you. Doesn't mean you have to be a jerk or anything like that, but you got to take God's word seriously. You do. But Jeremiah had, what he did was he came in and he had Baruch write down the words, what he was speaking, because the Lord was speaking to him. And a lot of people have a problem with that, the whole process, which is why people won't believe God's word or believe the Bible. But it wasn't uncommon for that to happen, for God to tell somebody and then they have somebody else write it. I mean, it's, you know, Paul did that, a good example. And in Romans 16:22, he tells Tertius, hey, write these down for me. You know, I mean, that's what he's saying. So it's not uncommon. But the thing is... And I just had this conversation with Pastor Kenny, and it really is. It comes down to, we were talking about Moses and being meek, and, you know, his brother and sister are sitting there, who are you? Why are you talking to God? You know, and that's basically what they're doing here and what we do. Who are you to tell me? I'm not telling you. You know? You can make the choices for your own, but I'm going to tell you. You know, this is what God says. I can't take anything away from that. But this chapter here is one of the best chapters to prove that we have an inspired word of God, that he does preserve his words, that he will give you to you. And we'll get into that in a little bit. But as we go down, let's see, in verse 10, then read Baruch in the book of the words of Jeremiah in the house of the Lord, in the chamber of Gemariah, the son of Shaphan, the scribe, in the higher court, at the entry of the new gate of the Lord's house, in the ears of all people. God's word is important. You need to tell it in the ears of all people. That's why they do it street ministry here. Because people need to hear God's word. They don't know. Just like these people here, those people that hear the word on the street corner are going to have no excuse when they stand before God and say, well, I didn't hear it. I didn't know. You know you're hearing it. And he gives us that free will, that choice of whether we want to believe him, whether we want to stand in faith and go. But that's another thing about God's word. It does take faith. And you need to stand in that faith. You need to have to stand strong. Because things are going to come up. They're going to push you one way or another. And you're going to feel like you don't have to, you know, or don't want to give the truth. Give the light of the gospel. Give the light of God's word. Right? Now, how you give it, you have to really be walking in the Spirit to give it right. Because you have to allow that Holy Spirit to guide you, because you need to know whether you're going to, right? You need to know whether you're going to use compassion or you're going to use fear. Because some need different ones. You know, example was in my case. I always heard the fear aspect of it. I never heard the compassion one. And once I heard the compassion, it clicked. This is why Christ died for me. Right? We love him because he first loved us. I couldn't get that. I needed the compassion side. But that's what he did. Baruch wrote these words down. And after Baruch read the words to the people and the prince, right, and the princes, that was it. I mean, that's what he did. He didn't leave out anybody. It was all the years. And then they asked him, well, how'd you get these? How'd you write these down, right? If we go to Jeremiah 36:17, and they asked Baruch, saying, tell us, how didst thou write all these words at his mouth? Then Baruch answered them, he pronounced all these words unto me with his mouth, and I wrote them with ink in a book. I mean, this is the process that God uses with his word. Right? It is profitable. It's given by inspiration. This is how he uses it. This is how God decided to use it. And you get these weird, strange people go, well, you know, if God really wanted, he'd come and show myself and all that. And you got, I used to think it was neat because you'd hear those Christians that would come back with, oh, well, he showed himself and they crucified him. And it's like, you know, I used to think that was neat, but it's not. No. God truly never has shown himself. Yes, he was God-man, which is the mystery. He was God manifested in the flesh, but he can't show up the way he is. He will consume you. Why? Because he's that holy. He can't have any sin around with you. And even if you're born again, you still have that sinful flesh. It's going to consume you. So he needs a way to say, hey, I love you, I can, but I can't do that. If I do that, you know, I mean, imagine how unholy, how unjust it would be if he showed up in that manner. Now he's going against his word, right? Because the Lord is not slack concerning his promise, but long-suffering to us word, not willing that any should perish, but all should come to repentance. So if you haven't come to repentance, if you're not saved, that's pretty unjust. That's going against his word, saying, hey, no. And I don't want a God like that. Sadly, most people worship a God like that because they don't even believe that he can preserve his word. And that's where it goes from. But it's a process that he uses and does. If you turn over to 2 Peter, let's see. Second Peter 1. In verse 21, which we've all heard many times. Actually, we'll start in verse 19. We have also a more sure word of prophecy, whereunto ye do well that ye take heed, as unto light that sinneth in a dark place until the day dawn, and the day star arise in your hearts. Knowing this first, that no prophecy of the Scripture is of any private interpretation, for the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. God's got to use a way. He's got to use man. And so many times we don't appreciate that. Israel didn't appreciate that. Right? Jesus says, you killed all the prophets. You didn't even appreciate when I was trying to send somebody to say, hey, this is the wrong way you're going. You need to look back. And the reason why you're going the wrong way is because you don't take my word seriously. You're not seeing how to do it, which is what we have as problems as Christians today. We see his word, but we don't want to apply it. Right? I'll go to church. I'll sit there quietly. I'll do that. And, you know, so God's got to accept me that I'm taking his word seriously because I'm supposed to be at church. That's not how it works. For some odd reason, Christians nowadays have this feeling that walking in the Spirit means, hey, going out street preaching, going out handing out tracts, going out doing this, going out doing that. That's not walking in the Spirit. Walking in the Spirit is getting up every day saying, I have the faith to know that the Holy Spirit, God will talk to me and tell me what he expects from me today. I need to communicate to him and tell him I'm open, I'm willing, I'm ready to go. Why? Because without faith, it is impossible to please him. If you're just doing, where's the faith? Where's the faith in doing? Lost people are out there doing the same things, except for giving the gospel, and some are lost giving a gospel, doing the same thing. But we're going to say, oh, no, I'm walking the spirit. I'm spiritual, brother. No, you're not. Well, I'm bearing fruit. That's okay. Better go check that passage out in Matthew where he says, depart from me, I never knew you. And then see the context of what that is. That's the context of people doing good. Is it not good to cast out demons? Is it not good to prophesy in Christ's name? Is it not? I didn't know you. Why? Because they didn't have the Spirit. They weren't walking in the Spirit. You got to have a Spirit to walk in the Spirit. And so many times, we're not trying the spirits and walking in the wrong spirit. Going, hey, God's word ain't that serious to me. It's okay. I know what it says. I'll just do. I'll go through the motions. I'll do it. Not realizing that you doing that is causing more damage than not. Because if your attitude ain't right, it's never going to get right doing that. You have to change your attitude. You do. And we need to change our attitude about God's word. He says he'll preserve it. He preserves it. He says it was spake by holy men. It was spoken by holy men. If he says his word is profitable, it's profitable. How is it profitable when you go and you go, well, I know this brother believes in mid-trib rapture, or he believes in, you know, only the rapture at the end. How is that good? How is it? How is it good not letting him know that's not how it is? How is it not good going, hey, brother, this isn't one of the disagreements I can say, hey, that's it. This ain't one of the agreements I can say, oh, we disagree, so we can move on. And this is the fight, the battle that Jeremiah had to put up on a daily basis. And you're talking for over 20 years. And not with one person. I can't let that go. It's not what God told me. I can't let that go. If you're going to talk like that, you got to go over there. I can't. Why? Because if you allow it, they might taint you. They might get you to start sliding off. And that's not where we're supposed to be at. We're supposed to say, yeah, God, you preserved our word. Yes, you gave it. Yes, I'm a King James Bible believer. Does it mean what you think it means? Again, I go back to last week where there's preachers out there, you look on the site, and they'll say their church is King James only and we believe the King James only and all that. And then they use those nice intellectual words like verbal and plenary, leaving out the King James Bible. Why? Because that's not really what they believe. What they believe is that somewhere, somehow, God had some words, but we don't have them anymore. That's what they truly believe. But the best part about Jeremiah's ministry that we still have nowadays is he uses your personality. He uses the individual. What are you good at? What are you not good at? Even if you're not good at it, if I tell you to do it, do it. I'll give you the strength to do it. That's why we have so many preachers. That's why there are so many good preachers that people say, oh, I like this one, I like that one, and this one, and then they're doctrinally sound and all that. But that's why. Why do you like them? Because they're individuals. You're not going to find them preach different. Pastor Kinney preaches different from Pastor Legault. Every man in the church that stepped up to this pulpit preaches different from the other one. You need to have that individuality. God likes that. That's why he made you for a purpose, right? He made you to be saved, and then once you're saved, I have a purpose for you. What is that? Take my word seriously. That's the first thing. Take my word seriously. You're saved, take my word seriously. You know, and that's, you know, people twist that around too when Jesus says, hey, if you love me, love my commandments. That's what he's talking about. Take my word seriously. I know you're going to fail, but take my word seriously. Come on, But the Bible is the preserved word of God. And here, and this is what Jeremiah is saying. Hey, these words came from God. You're either going to take it or you're not. The next thing we'll look at is the devil's plan. What's the devil's plan in all this? Because God's got the word. He's doing it. Jeremiah's there. Why did Jeremiah have so much resistance? Well, for one, sin, because that's how we are. For two, because the devil likes to step in. When he sees that opportunity, he steps in and says, hey, all right, I'll sneak what I want to in here. Because they're not going to know it. Why? Because he's subtle. They're already in sin. They already don't want to take God's word seriously. They don't think it's preserved. They don't think it is above all. So I can go in there. I can whisper in their ears. And they won't even know because they'll think it's them. Right? And isn't that how it is when we see something that we don't like? I mean, I really have to ask that question. How many times in the Bible do we read, see something, and we go, oh, I don't like it, or I don't understand it, and it's, eh. Or is it the attitude of, Lord, I can't see it, but I know there's an answer. It can't go against your word, and this might not be something I understand, but that's okay. I know there's an answer, and I'll look, and if you show me, you show me. I'll ask. But no, because we see it, and we go, ooh. And right there, as soon as you see something and you read, the devil knows God's word. And as soon as you do that, that's what happens, because you gave place. You said, well, that don't seem right. Without going, that don't seem right, but Lord, I know it is, because I know your word is pure. I know there's something in here. I know there's a way. I just don't know it. And that's okay, Lord. You know, I love preaching God's word because it is pure. I just love it. I take great joy in it. I believe I drive my wife and kids nuts when I have to do it, because I just take it. I take it that seriously, and I'm like, I get stressed out a lot about it, and I'm like, no, I gotta, you know, because it is, you know, you want to be right. He's our Father. You, all right, people that have kids, right? Your kids want to be perfect for you. They want something from, and that's what it is. And I go, okay, my dad's perfect. He gave me his perfect word. I want to try to do my best. And sometimes I do. I get a little overzealous and take it a little too far and get stressed out about it. But that's my attitude. That's not the attitude God wants me to have, for he wants me to have that good attitude. And when he does, he gives me things like this and says, hey, just, yeah, you know most of these, you know this stuff, but here's what I want you to speak. Why? Because I go, it's the right attitude. Now, if you have the wrong attitude, it doesn't matter how great or how much of an outline you have, you're probably going to blow it if your attitude's wrong about getting up and taking God's word seriously. And that includes getting up in front of people and going, yeah, how am I going to bless these people today, Lord? That's wrong attitude. That's not taking God's word seriously. It's, Lord, what are you going to say through me? And if I got to say a wrong word, if you got to humiliate me because I don't know how to say a word and I chose it, go ahead. Because if you don't fail, if things don't happen the way you want, that's a good thing. But you can't learn from it. You can't learn from his word. He can't purify you like his word. But in Jeremiah 36, 21, it says, so the king sent Jehudiah to fetch the roll and took it out of Elishama, the scribe's chamber, and Jehudiah read it in the ears of the king and in the ears of all the princes which stood beside the king. Now the king sat in the winter house in the ninth month, and there was a fire on the earth burning before him. And it came to pass that when Jehudiah had read three or four leaves, he cut it with the penknife and cast it into the fire that was on the earth until all the roll was consumed in the fire that was on the earth, the hearth. Yet they were not afraid, nor rent their garments, neither the king nor any of his servants that heard all these words. And you get what's happening here. It's just like I said. Whoa, whoa, whoa. I don't like that. That don't sound right. Well, yeah, but, you know, and if you don't know how to rightly divide, a lot of things aren't going to sound right. You know, some, let's be honest, some things we rightly divide and we're like, I don't get it, Lord. Okay, but that's what you say. I get it. That's what you're saying there. So let's go on. Let's get this done. You'll show me. But you notice, and this is what it is. You see this when you're witnessing too. Especially if you got more than one person around. What happens is, what's the king do? Here's a few words to go. Whoa, 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 whoa. Stop there. And that's what happens when you run, right? You got a couple people around. You always got that one person that says, whoa, whoa, whoa. Stop there. And they got to throw all these things in while somebody else is trying to listen. Well, that ain't from God. That's part of Satan's plan. It's part of his plan. Hey, this guy's nowhere near ready, but he's still hanging around with him. I got him. You know? And that should even prove you that we should not be yoked with the unbeliever, right? Because even if you're saved and you do that and you're hanging around with somebody that believes that or differently, it's going to happen. And I am. I'm still a firm believer that you cannot show reproof to somebody that does not follow the same doctrine. You cannot. That does not believe the same thing. Now, does it mean they're not saved? Absolutely not. As long as they believed in Jesus Christ, the blood of Jesus Christ, that he died, rose again, right? I mean, we know the gospel. As long as they believe that, they can. Doesn't mean that you're safe from not getting false doctrine, having false preachers, false prophets come in, tell you different things. It doesn't make you free from making mistakes or getting caught up in anything. But that's part of Satan's plan, to get you to go, hey, you know, he gets these people. And when you're hanging around with people like that and they're still pushing it because you go, hey, look, I don't want to hear that. I'm standing for God. That's not what it says. And then they still push it and still put, please, could you stop? Please, could you stop? Please, could you stop? And this goes on for months. There's a time when you have to say, I have to let go. I have to say, Lord, you have to deal with them. And the only reason why I talk so passionately about that stuff is because it's happened to me. And it's not fun. It isn't. And it all stems from somebody not taking God's word seriously enough. Saying, well, this is what it says. Because if you truly do, if you truly rightly divide God's word the way he set it up for you, yeah, there might be some things you don't understand, but you keep going, you're going to go. And again, that's doctrine. And that's what we need, right? That's what it is. We need the doctrine to show us what's right. We need the reproof to show us what's not right. We need the correction to show us what is right, and then the instruction of how we're going to continue. And the instructions do nothing unless you're going to go out and apply it. They do nothing if you're not going to, by faith, go out and make those plans, make those steps towards that. But he is. Satan is very subtle. And he waits for things to come in at you. Right, Ephesians 4:26, be ye angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath. But what follows that? Neither give place to the devil. Right? We don't want to give place to him. And when you think that God's word can be perfected on, when you think you can take something away because, well, obviously we're living in 2024, so we don't have the same problems as they did back then. We don't live the same way, so it's okay. You're right. We don't live the same way. We're dumber. I'm sorry. I'm going to say that. Because if anybody could figure out how pyramids got built and all that stuff like that, and how they had systems and roads that lasted longer than we can do, I mean, that's, honestly, that's, we're not that bright. But we think we do because we live in an age of technology. Because we have this, which is Satan's plan. That's part of his plan, to get you to question God's word. Perfect example, and Pastor Kitty loves talking about it, YouTube. Right? We have technology. I'll go on YouTube. I'll Google it. Google it's going to get me the right answer. I just did a message for a preaching class Thursday, and I looked up the top 100 questions that Google asks. Top 100. The top three were ridiculous. The number two question, and this is funny, the number two that most people ask, which was pretty close to number one, was what time is it? But we're smarter. We're smarter, right? Because if anybody has a phone in here and you've got internet access, if you pull up your phone, guess what shows first?
Time.
And don't get confused, because it's not... Now, don't get confused and think, well, maybe they were asking about time over here, time, you know, in a different country. No, no, those questions came later on. So obviously, it's not the same. Obviously, you know, and that's, you know, technology makes you lazy. It makes you dumb. It makes me dumb. I spend way too much with it, and I shouldn't. And I still don't know what I'm doing with it. I still got to ask half the time, hey, how do you do this? Because I don't know. But YouTube, I mean, you go on it, and you sit there and go, oh, look at this. Look at this guy. Look at this guy. You know, I'm going to show you something. Could turn over to Acts 17. This is good. I remember this now because I got, God's good, man. He really is good. He's great. This was the other message I was thinking about writing for a preaching class, and I just didn't do it. But if you turn over to Acts 17, let's see. Acts 17 and verse 18. Then certain philosophers of the Epicureans and of the Stoics encountered him, and some said, what will this babbler say? Others, some, he seemeth to be a setter forth of strange gods, because he preached unto them Jesus in the resurrection. And they took him and brought him unto Areopagus, saying, may we know what this new doctrine wherefore thou speakest is? For thou bringest certain strange things to our ears. We would know, therefore, what these things mean. For all the Athenians and strangers which were spent their time in nothing else but to either tell or to hear some new strange or some new thing. Sound familiar? How many Christians do you have out there? Oh, what's that? Oh, that's new. Hey, can I tell you about this? Hey, tell me that. But you see, there, it wasn't about God's the purity of God's word with them. It was not. It was, ooh, what are you going to tell me that's cool and neat? What are you going to tell me that's different? God's word doesn't change. They can't. What's the strange doctrine? Hey, no, there's no strange doctrine here. Check this out. Let me show you these scriptures of Isaiah. It speaks of him. It's nothing strange. It's nothing new. The simplicity of Christ. Isn't that what Paul says? Lest ye be guiled. You're forgetting the simplicity of Christ when you don't take his word seriously. We try to tell people that you need to understand this, you need to understand that, you need to understand this. And don't get me wrong, there are some certain things, there's some basic things you have to understand. There really is. But it doesn't mean that you have to understand everything. There's a, and I'm not going to say it because I've seen them on YouTube doing it. There's a preacher out there who graduated from PBI that preaches you can't be saved unless you fully understand the blood of Christ. Some new thing, huh? Is that taking God's word seriously? Is that his preserved words? Does that say that anywhere? That if you don't understand that, you cannot be saved? No. But what happens is you understand that as you start to grow in Christ, as you start to build your faith, as you go upon it, as you start going, Lord, your word is pure, I will take that. No. What happens is Satan comes in and says, hey, you just read that? Guess what? I'm going to show you something new. That's what Satan does. He's the one that says, hey, I'm going to show you something new. What do you think? Is that good enough? That'll make you feel important, won't it? That'll make you feel like you're right. You can be more educated than other people now, right? Because the world won't respect you unless you're educated. And you know, it's a funny thing. My brother and sister used to look up to me. My younger brother and sister always just looked up to me. I don't think I'm smart, but they always used to look up to me, think I was the smartest man there was. They'd always ask me advice and all that. Now they think I'm nuts. Now they think I have no clue in life. And yet I know, because I took God's word seriously. It was preserved. You have to believe it's preserved. If you don't, what do you stand upon? Nothing. Be sober, be vigilant, because your devil is a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour. Another interesting thing about that, you know what it says in the next verse? Whom resist steadfast in the faith? Are you resisting the faith? Are you resisting these things? Are you resisting God's word to show you? Are you saying, you know what, reproof ain't that much? That doesn't mean I'm a correction. No, no, that's okay. Doctrine, no big deal. The only doctrine that matters is the burial and resurrection of Jesus Christ. No, that's important to be saved. But right? I mean, we've heard it in the past few weeks with Pastor Kenny going through dispensations and doctrine. The whole book is not about us being saved. The whole book's about him. His honor and glory. Not mine. Not yours. Some people say, hey, you know, again, you know, I hate to do it, but I have to do it because, I mean, it broke my heart. You know, talking to my brother recently And he's on this whole, I'm going to debunk Jesus Christ. I believe in God, but not Jesus Christ. Sin. Him wanting to think that there's something he can do. Or he can just do what he wants and God has to accept him. Why? Because he doesn't know God's word. He doesn't believe that God can preserve his word. Right? We see that with people all the time. Well, if God's real, he's got to show up to me. No, you don't want that. Trust me, you don't want that. Because the next time he shows up in the clouds and you ain't even know he's there. But we will. And what follows is not what you're going to want to do because there's no guarantee that you're going to survive long enough to see him come back. I mean, that's faith. I mean, that's doctrine. That's just plain facts. But let's talk about this, the preservation of God's word. You know, Jeremiah 36 here. 27 and 32. Then the word of the Lord came unto Jeremiah after the king had burned the roll and the words which Baruch wrote at the mouth of Jeremiah, saying, take thee again another roll and write it in all the former words that were in the first roll, where Jehoiakim, the king of Judah, had burned. And thou shalt say to Jehoiakim, king of Judah, thus saith the Lord, thou hast burned this roll, saying, why hast thou written therein, saying, the king of Babylon shall certainly come and destroy this land, and shall cause to cease from thence man and beast. Therefore, thus saith the Lord of Jehoiakim, king of Judah, he shall have none to sit upon the throne of David, and his dead body shall be cast out in the day to the heat and in the night of the frost, and I will punish him and his seed and his servants for iniquity, and I will bring upon them and upon the inhabitants of Jerusalem and upon the men of Judah all the evil that I have pronounced against them, but they hearkened not. Then took Jeremiah another roll and gave it to Baruch the scribe, the son of Neriah, who wrote therein from the mouth of Jeremiah all the words of the book which Jehoiakim, king of Judah, had burned in the fire. And there were added besides unto them many like words. King James is wrong. You know, they took some liberties. You know, the parentheses, the italics, stuff like that. They took some liberties with that. And most of them weren't liberties. Now, I grant it that God had to speak through them, so he gave them some, but some aren't. Some are just common sense. Right? Some are just common sense. Well, how do you get this? Well, back here in the Old Testament it said this, so this has had to be what Jesus was saying in the scriptures because it is. I mean, that's just common sense, right? But people don't think of it that way. You know, they go, no, Lord can't do that. They can't do that. You know, and it's funny that people think that the Lord could save them, take them to heaven, but he can't tell you how to get there. He can't give you everything you need to know here. I mean, what's the point of that? Psalm 12, 6 through 7. The words of the Lord are pure words. As silver tried in a furnace of earth, purified seven times. Thou shalt keep them, O Lord, from this generation forever. Who keeps them? The Lord. That's what it says. Thou shalt keep them, O Lord. Thou shalt preserve them. Either he can or he can't. Either he's lying or not. If he's lying in one spot, that doesn't make him a holy, pure God. It means you got no chance of going to heaven, believing on Christ Jesus. Because how can we trust his word? How can we trust him? A lie is a lie. One lie sends people to hell forever. You know? But just, you know, to close up here, I mean, some of the facts about the inspired scripture is your heart determines how you receive it. Your heart determines how you receive it. again, I love that. Pastor Kenny, way back, and I just told him, I said, you know, you made me look at things in a whole different perspective. As he's getting into the, Jesus gets into the parable, and he talks about, hey, you knew I was an austere man, right? You want God to be austere? Go ahead. He'll be it for you. You want him to be merciful, gracious? He will. There's only so much he's going to let go. Right? He'll say, hey, I've had enough. You want to believe I'm that way? Go ahead. Go ahead. I can't do nothing. And if you're lost, he gives you up. Says, I don't know what to do with you. I don't want you to go that way. I want you to be, what am I going to do? You want me to be this tough man. God is so unfair. Look at what he's done. And then people don't look at the reasons why he did it or why it happened. People always like to, oh, well, you know, you know the gay community and the stuff. Well, you know, straight people get divorced all the time and all this stuff. Yeah, why did he say it was okay? Why did he say divorce was given? For the hardness of your hearts. He didn't say because God says, hey, go ahead, do it. Marry who you want, get divorced, do this, do that. No, your heart. Your heart. If we don't have the answers, be a liar. Again, without the scriptures, we wouldn't be able to be wise on the salvation. We wouldn't be able to learn doctrine or reproof. Right? We wouldn't be able to learn these things. We wouldn't learn how to be corrected. Some people refuse to believe what the Bible says about itself. They don't believe that God preserves his word, and they try to correct it. There's the other half of it. They try to correct it. Make a God that they feel comfortable with, that'll please them, that'll make them, right? It'll make them, well, it starts that with that, the whole Satan there going, hey, you know, I can get you to feel smarter than that because now you got your own God. Realizing that you created that God. You have no clue. Because you don't care. Because your heart and your attitude just don't want to believe the perfect, inspired word of God. You know, does that mean people can't be saved that use other Bibles? No. But I'll tell you what, more people that use those other Bibles get into a lot more stranger doctrine than those that use the King James. And that's why you see Satan try to imitate this stuff, because he knows what he's doing. Tries to take away from that perfect word. And that's where you get people in there now, pastors and preachers, that say, oh yeah, I used the King James, but I believe in the verbal and plenary. I believe the word is settled in heaven. So, but this is good enough for here. But I just you know, think about this stuff. Think about God's word. How serious is it in your life? Because that's what it is. It was serious in Jeremiah's over 20 years. And a man was thrown in a prison, kept captive in wells. And I mean, you name it. And he kept going. He kept going. Why? Because he took it seriously. Father, I just thank you, Lord. I thank you for this day, Lord. I thank you for everything. I just pray you be with Pastor during the message, Lord. And pray you just give him the right words to say, Lord. And just help us, Lord, as we go about our day, Lord, just to give you honor and praise as we go about our week, Lord, that we just, again, just truly learn how to love you and worship you the way that we need to, the way that you deserve, Lord. And we thank you so much. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.